Word of God, we have life and life to the full. We pray that God would bless us today and always with the gift of His Word. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, 907, God Himself is present. Wherever His Word is, there Christ is among us, loving us, forgiving us. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, page 184 and following. Worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the rain that flows as a gift from You, watering the earth, giving prosperity to all those who earn their living from the soil. Heavenly Father, You teach us that in the same way that the rain comes down and waters the earth, making it bud and flourish and grow, so it is with Your Word. Heavenly Father, give us hearts that long to read, learn, speak, sing, inwardly digest Your Word. For Your Word is life. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of the Word made flesh, Jesus, crucified and risen for us and for the life of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 907.
Thank you.
Divine Service, setting 3, page 184. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God, our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit for the day.
Here, O Lord, when I
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you good things that surpass all understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Trinity is from 1 Kings chapter 19. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes the sword of Jehu shall Elijah put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed down to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual appointed for today. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointing. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But for those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia and verse. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of the Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess together our one faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for our hymn of the day, number 611, Chief of Sinners, O I Be.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from the gospel lesson just read, especially these words. Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. Dear Christians, there is an incredible distinction in the two things that Peter just talked about. We toiled, we worked, we struggled, we came up with our own ideas, we tried everything we know, and nothing. But at your word, we'll let down the nets. I know that at first glance, this Bible passage seems to be one about fishing. Not only fishing, but how to catch a lot of fish at one time. And on the surface level, it is about real fishermen who did real fishing for their job and caught real fish to sell to the local community. But this Bible passage is not only about fishing. It's also about how God's word works faith. These fishermen were going about their lives, doing their job, fishing for fish. And Jesus comes into their lives and calls them with his word to do something different. Jesus calls them to fish, not for fish, but for people. His words exactly. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when Jesus spoke this word to them, they left all that they had and they followed him. Now, one might ask an important question. How exactly is it that we fish for men, for people? If it weren't raining this morning, should we stand out on the side of 40th and cast fishing hooks towards the cars driving by, trying to bring them in here to the church? Of course not. That'd be a good way to get hurt or sued. Should we get here really early on Sunday mornings and drag big nets across 40th so people have no choice but to turn into our parking lot? And then when they get out of their cars to complain, should we get a big hose and baptize them right then and there? No. How is it that we fish for people? Well, we know that when we fish for fish, you have to have the right lure, the right bait. What's the lure and the bait that brings people into church? There's lots of ideas out there. Some of them sound really good. Some of them sound ridiculous. Just as ridiculous as nets across the road. In the church, we call the fishing process evangelism. And some pastors, in efforts to fish for men, have tried all sorts of things. You can search on YouTube to find churches where the pastor dressed up as the Cat in the Hat, where the acolytes dressed up as thing one and thing two, and everything in the service rhymed the way Dr. Seuss rhymed things. It was done in an effort to try and make church more exciting for young people. But in the end, it was just really corny, really foolish looking. On the less ridiculous side of things, there's some churches who think, we'll relax the dress code. We want you to be comfortable. But I'll tell you my opinion about that. If I wanted to be comfortable on a Sunday morning, I wouldn't even get out of the sheets. I'd just keep sleeping. Some places think that if they change the style and the music to be more modern, more earthier, more familiar with what we're used to on the radio, then people will come. But the truth is, even if we get a band up here, that it will never be as good as Aerosmith or Led Zeppelin or any of the other good bands. It'll always be just a little less. Some churches have done the opposite and told people that if you hold your hands the right way, with the right thumb on top of the other, if you bow at the perfect angle at the right time, then people will really feel plugged into the service as if they're doing something holy for God. And that's the issue, right? All of these things are adding something that we do to the Word of God. It's God's Word plus comfort, God's Word plus the right music, God's Word plus the right reverence, God's Word plus something. It goes even beyond this. Sometimes churches change their theology to make it more palatable. We see this on the news when there's church conventions and they vote to change something big and the media reports upon it. There's churches who have abandoned closed communion and instead welcome all people willy-nilly, even though it's the Lord's Supper, not the church's supper. And if it's the Lord's Supper, shouldn't we do what the Lord says to do about it? Some churches have loosened up on who could be pastors. Some have tried to make marriage more palatable to our modern sensibilities. Some churches have denied that Jesus was God. Some churches make you worship on Saturday. And all of them think that by these changes, they're fishing for men better. But in all cases, behind every one of these issues is the idea that it is God's Word plus something else that'll bring people to church. Dear Christians, sometimes we think that way, don't we? If only we had a more dynamic pastor. If only the pews were more comfortable. If only church were shorter. If only we didn't sing all 23 verses of the hymn. Then our church could really be something. Dear Christians, none of these lies are true. God does not promise to work in a way that we find entertaining or exciting. He doesn't promise to work in the way that we want him to. He doesn't promise to work through God's word and some additional mean. He promised to work in his word. Because where his word is present in its truth and purity, the Holy Spirit is at work, pointing people always to Jesus, to his forgiveness, to his mercy. God is a jealous God, and he won't share your salvational work with anyone else but Christ. We see that in our gospel lesson, in the way that Peter caught all those fish. He's tried everything else he could think of the night before. Lord, we have toiled long and hard, but have caught nothing. We tried the right fishing spots. We used the gill nets. We've used the throwing nets. We've used the spinners and the spoons and the jigs. We used the Mr. Twister, and still, we've caught nothing. We've done all that we could think of on our own, and nothing. But at your word, we'll put down the net. And when the work is done according to the word of Jesus, the net is filled. The fish are so plentiful that two boats cannot even bring them all in. God's word has accomplished what it says it would accomplish. It fulfilled what it promised. Even at silly things like catching fish, God's word has power. And if his word can catch fish, why shouldn't his word catch men? You see, it's at the word of God that we are saved. It is at the word of Jesus that we are brought into the boat of the church. It's at the word of Jesus. Salvation is delivered to our poor, sinful lives. The word of God in its truth and purity is the most important thing in our entire church service, because it's the word of God that brings us Jesus. It's read, sung, preached, spoken to you in the words of absolution. I forgive you all your sins because the blood of Jesus has paid for them. The word of God is applied to you in the waters of holy baptism. As we remember when we say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, word of God comes to you in bread and wine that are Christ's true body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. The word of God creates, sustains faith within all of you. It calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the entire Christian church on earth. And we cannot add to it. We cannot subtract from it. God does the work. He will not share his salvational act with the things that we desire. He saves us by his mercy, grace, and compassion. He gives us here his holy, precious word. And what is that word? It's Jesus. The word made flesh, who dwelt among us, who lived the perfect life in our place, who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns for all eternity. What is it that creates faith? Why are you a Christian? Because God's word has had its way with you. How is it that we fish for people? The word. The Word. All the rest, it's just fluff. Dear Christians, this has important implications for you and for how you choose a church. I know that it's dangerous as a pastor to preach and teach about how you find a church. There's always the worry you'll find a church somewhere else. But it's important that you know what you look for. What is it that you look for in a congregation that you might become a member at? The Word. I know some churches try all sorts of fancy lures bringing people to church. They might show up with cookies or other things like that. They do it because that's what catches our wandering eyes. They're so friendly. They're so exciting. They have a coffee bar right in the sanctuary. They're so modern. They have a new, beautiful building. Those things seem exciting. But don't be distracted by them. Is the Word taught and preached and proclaimed faithfully in its wholeness, in its completeness? Do the people of the church there believe it and love it? And rejoice at hearing it regularly? Are the sacraments administered according to the Word of God? It's sad to say it's not that way in all the churches of the world. And sometimes we get distracted by the other things. Did you see what happened with Peter and the other fishermen when Jesus preached his word into their ears? The Bible says they left all the things behind and followed him. Dear Christians, you have been saved by Jesus. You have been called by Christ. Repent. Leave behind all the other exciting, flashy distractions. Listen to God's word. When you look for a church, look for God's word, because it's at the word of Jesus that you are saved. It's at the word of Jesus that you are brought into the ark of the church. Go to a church where your pastors have been charged to preach God's word faithfully and do so, so that at that word you might believe. Your pastors are to be charged with picking hymns that sing God's word boldly and faithfully. Look for a church where that happens, because it's the word of God that will save you. Your pastors should be charged with administering the sacraments so that God's word can save you. Your pastors should be called to give you God's word faithfully in preaching, because it's God's word that saves you. How do you fish for people? God's word. And that's enough. The rest are distractions. The word. Because in the Word, the Holy Spirit calls you. In the Word, you're brought to Jesus. I'm not the great fisherman. Peter was not the great fisherman. Pastor Poppy's not the great fisherman. It's God who sends out the net of his word and brings all of us sinners in to his church. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. This time we continue our service by singing together the offertory on page 192, Create in Me. Please stand.
Seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news, the comfort, the forgiveness, and the life that comes from the Word, would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for the Langenberg family, cousins of Karen Kamen, facing a difficult time and family tragedy. And we also pray for former Good Shepherd Vicar Jason Krause as he considers a call to serve at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Loup City and Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Myrna, Nebraska. We pray. Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine, and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. Look with kindness and compassion as our synod gathers in convention this week, that all that is deliberated, discussed, and decided may redound to your glory and the furthering of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, in mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger, and sustain with your spirit our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who experience persecution. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, bestow your grace on all nations of the earth. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority. Let your glory dwell in our land so that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. Bless all those who serve in our armed forces, that they may serve with integrity and honor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Compassionate Lord, graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and needy, the comforter of the distressed and those in sorrow. Look with mercy especially upon those who have requested our prayers, the Langenberg family, Mark, Chelsea, Loretta, LaVon, Barb, Lyle, Victor, Gloria, Steve, Marge, Daryl, James, Bill, Linda, and all those that we remember in our hearts, that they may ever cling to Jesus as their sure and certain hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance, firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, as we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, who, with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit, are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance, of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, and
together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ.
Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Please stand as you're able. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, The Word, The Word, The Word, 582. God's Word is our great heritage. Seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the Word of God in flesh for you and for your salvation. Kids, you know the routine. Go get some goodies back in here in about 5 to 7 minutes for our Sunday school opening. You're all invited for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. One opportunity for adult Bible study this morning in the fellowship hall. Joyful generosity. We'll do that today and next Sunday, and then the first Sunday in August, we'll be back to the book of Romans, back to the book of Romans. We have a visitor with us today. The last 3 weeks, Vicar has not been with us. We've farmed him out all over the state of Nebraska. It's good to have you back once. But he is a short-timer, so next Sunday will be your last opportunity to hear him preach and greet and welcome family and such. Next Sunday, 5 o'clock, we have a farewell potluck roast. We'll have some fun. It's been a great year, and so I encourage you, if you can, please join us. It'll be lots of fun. I promise it'll be lots of fun. Good-natured fun. He's got thick skin. He's a farm boy, so he can take it. But we'll have, it's been a great year. We'll have a lot of fun. We do need to pray for our almost soon-to-be, not quite yet, Vicar Daniel Golden. Vicar Jr. Today is the first full day of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Convention in Tampa, Florida. There were many, many congregations that were begging for pulpit supply today because the pastors are in Florida as voting delegates. I wouldn't let Vicar go because, he's going to be gone soon. But I let the new vicar go. So, believe it or not, he is trying to find St. Edward and Cedar Rapids, Nebraska, about a 2.5-hour drive from Lincoln. He was astounded that there were no motels in St. Edward, so it'll be an eye-opening experience for a New York boy and his family. So keep him in your prayers, and if he finds it and can cross the river and creek bridges without floating away, I'm sure he'll find us back. Sign-up sheets for the Vicar Farewell. We need help before, during, and after. It's a potluck, so bring some goodies. And then the following week, 4th of August, we're having a picnic out at the congregational picnic out at the McKinney's. Just need a number. If you can come, put your name and rough idea how many people will be there. Give us a little bit of idea for planning. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events are listed here. I'll put in a big push for the ACELC conference that's coming up the 6th and 7th of August. It's at Eagle, Nebraska. It'll be great. Got a great lineup of speakers. If you can go, please go. Please go. I guarantee it'll be worth your time. We also have some new devotional books. They start today, Higher Things Reflections, Trinity 5 through 10. The Sunday in here is today. There's a box of them back there. Great for personal devotions, family devotions. We got a lot of activity stuff. You can hand them out to family and friends as well. Please take advantage of those. Pastor, anything else? Vicar, we'll give you the last word next week. Have a great day and week and life in the Word of God.